Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We're in week three of Give Me Barrymore Month, which is Tammy's pick. I think we all can now know what she's doing based off someone's hello.
She said it last week.
That's true. Yes.
True fact.
But before we get to your pick, guys, I'm in a good mood.
She's in a really good mood.
I am. Like I said, it's warm today. It's beautiful.
It smells like spring.
And your birthday is just
my birthday is going to be cold as fuck, but that's fine. Yes. And also, the Oscars are this Sunday.
Oh.
Okay.
And because I took the entire week off of my birthday, I can actually stay up and watch them and not feel like I have to go to bed and get a proper night's sleep.
Very nice.
Very excited. Now, to celebrate... What? I pretty much always stay up, but that's fine.
You would have stayed up anyway.
I would have.
I thought we could have to go to work.
I thought we could do some predictions. Yes, this episode will come out after they air, but let's do some predictions. We're going to start with supporting actor. I have Gold Derby up for the percentages on my screen right now. Now,
I haven't seen all these movies.
That's fine. We're just going to go off who you think. Now,
okay.
Number one, with 66% on Gold Derby, Sean Penn is expected to win. Then we also have Stellan Skarsgård, Delroy Lindo, Jacob Elordi, Benicio del Toro. Who do we all think, or individually, who do you think is going to win Best Supporting Actor?
I think it might be Sean Penn.
Ugh. I think I'm hoping that, you know, the tradition of two actors from the same movie cancel each other out.
That happens.
So I'm going to give it up to my man, Stellar Skateboard.
Stellar Skateboard.
I'm going to do Jacob Elordi.
Jacob Elordi did win the Golden Globe.
Well,
no, he won the Critics' Choice Award.
But he didn't win the SAG.
But neither did Sean Penn.
I thought he did.
No, Sean Penn did not win the SAG.
Which was an upset.
No, because he wasn't...
Oh, no, he did win the SAG, yeah, but he didn't win the Critics' Choice.
Somebody, like, accepted on his behalf.
He didn't win the Golden Globe. He did win the BAFTA, but Stellan Skarsgård wasn't nominated for the SAG. So it's a very off-kilter. I personally think Delroy Lindo is going to come from behind and just take it. I think Sinners is on this, like, upward trajectory and, like...
You think Sinners is going to take it all?
I think Sinners is going to...
somebody took himself out of the race, so...
Yes, he did.
Well, that's a different category.
Best Supporting Actress. In first place with 51%, it is Amy Madigan for Weapons. And Gladys. Mm. Love her.
Miss Bender?
Yes. Then we have...
I did message her. I was like, hey, way to go. You want a SAG? And she was like, what? And I'm like, there's a lady, Amy Madigan. She pretty much is your doppelganger in this movie.
Yeah.
And she won.
Like, yeah, Gladys. Yeah, like without the wig on?
No. Hair aside, that was a straight up bender. Look,
okay.
Okay. And also the whole threatening to kill children.
Yes.
That's also straight up bender right there. Love you, Bender, but you're an evil witch.
Oh, my.
Not a child fan, huh?
Then we have Teyana Taylor, who's just so cool off screen. Then we have Wunmi Masaku from Sinners. This woman's name is super Swedish. Inga Lulz and Elle Fanning.
Oh, that's Inka Tinka Begovina.
Yes. I want Amy Madigan to win because I like Weapons and I love the Aunt Gladys character.
Yeah, go Weapons.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think she's going to, because she did win the SAG and she won, I think, the Critics' Choice, but she didn't win the Golden Globe and she didn't win the BAFTA. So it's like, these categories are wild this year.
She's creepy as fuck.
But she's also.
The Academy, she's not even nominated for Best Supporting.
Who?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong category.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Best actor currently sitting in first because someone opened their big fat fucking mouth. Michael B. Jordan. Yes.
How far in first, Allie?
51%.
So
who's bringing up number two?
Timothée Chalamet, I Don't Like Ballet, is sitting at 34%. I just thought of that.
You mean the star? You mean the star of
Interstellar?
I'm very
happy with myself. Wagner Moura. Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan Hawke. See, I would have put money on Ethan Hawke at the beginning of award season.
Well,
he has literally not won anything.
Yeah, but he also came out in an interview and said he didn't like the Westminster Dog Show.
What?
Yeah, so that really tanked his...
Well, I want Michael B. Jordan to win. I think he deserves it. He played twins.
I think he
twins,
does too.
Basil.
I mean,
that's a cheap way to get twice as much screen time.
Plus, I think the reason why he's in the forefront on our co-host is because of what he was wearing or lack thereof the whole movie.
No, I've always liked Michael B. Jordan.
With
what
or
about Michael
a
A. Jordan?
I don't care about Michael A. Jordan.
How could you? He was in the movie too.
Okay. Then we have Best Actress. In first place currently at 96%.
Whoa.
Is Jessie Buckley for Hamnet. Then we have Rose Byrne, Renate Renziev, Emma Stone, and Kate Hudson. And God, if Kate Hudson pulls it out, I will.
Go Emma Stone. Kill she myself. Needs more.
No, oh here it is too.
No, give her more.
Yeah,
she can't. She can't keep. Buckley. She can't keep winning for Yorgos movies. It's, she needs to.
Why?
Well, she has one for a Yorgos movie. The other one's for La La Land.
Oh,
I don't know Jessie Buckley.
Okay,
I was just looking her up.
Oh, okay,
Hamnet.
Best Director in first with 94% is Paul Thomas Anderson. Then we have Ryan Coogler, Chloe Zhao, Joachim Trier, and Josh Safdie, who can suck a dick.
Gee, I wonder who you're voting for.
I mean, I want Ryan Coogler to win. I do think Ryan Coogler is going to win Best Original Screenplay.
It's and Joaquin.
They tend
by a mile.
It's Joaquin Trier. Yeah. I don't even know that's how you pronounce it. It might it's be Joaquin.
It's not the same guy.
It's not Joaquin. It's Joaquin.
Oh.
He's Swedish okay. or Dutch well, or something.
Swedish?
Yeah, I got to give it up to the Coog.
It's most likely going to be PTA, but... All right, then we have Best Picture. Currently in first is One Battle After Another.
Still need to watch that.
Followed by Sinners. Hamnet, that's the top three. It's a battle between One Battle After Another and Sinners. One Battle After Another is sitting at 76%. Sinners is sitting at 20%. I think Sinners is going to pull it out.
I
disagree.
I think I'd
really?
Yep.
After watching...
You saw One Battle After Another?
Yeah. It took more than one attempt, but I watched it.
Oh, okay.
Wow, Sinners only took me one time.
After watching it and knowing what I know about the history of the Academy, I don't know. Song Sung Blue could just be a sleeper out of nowhere.
Hey, Song Sung Blue is not nominated for Best Picture.
It still could just show up. And just
write in.
Thank God.
It could just be there.
Just
and
a
then
big slap in the face.
They'll just push Neil Diamond out.
Well, Tammy, did your movie win any Academy Awards? I'm pretty sure it probably won for...
four Oscars.
There we go. Tell us about your pick.
One for the least flexible alien.
Barrymore month.
I mean, were they all, you know...
Technical.
Technicals.
Most likely.
Rightfully so.
It was nominated for four Oscars.
Yeah, I don't know if it really won any. I'm surprised it didn't win John Williams like for best score.
I know, right?
Because he would normally win.
So it had Best Picture, Best Director nominee, Best Writing and Screenplay for Melissa Matheson, Best Cinematography, Best Sound, Best Film Edit. We're all nominated. And it won Best Effects, Visual Effects, Best Sound Effects, and Best Music. Isn't that sad that he didn't win like Best Director?
He only wins Best Director for the historical movies that he does.
Not even all of
Empire
them.
Empire of the
no,
Sun?
No, he's only won two.
It got a standing ovation at the Cannes Film,
everything,
Film Festival.
Everything gets a standing ovation at Cannes.
Yeah,
it's
I could pull
stupid
up
stupid ass.
I could pull up the video of Song Sung Blue getting.
Yeah, you really
oh my know. God, I hate that stupid film festival.
Well, I chose E.T. for my movie.
Mm.
All by yourself?
No, not all by myself. At the request of the birthday girl.
Somebody
wanted,
did.
Someone to do something that she was in more.
Yeah, full disclosure to the audience. Literally everyone, with even Allie included, basically we all picked movies where she literally was in it for like, blink and you miss her. She went like almost full on Amelia Salk.
Oh boy.
No, I would have been happy with Ever After. I love Ever After. I was thinking of you two with that and having to deal with the puss faces that we would have had to look at while you talked about Ever After.
Hilarious what we do to them next week.
Disgusting. we shouldn't care about their feelings anymore.
I know. They didn't care about ours.
Next week.
Batman Forever was great. And mm-hmm. You all enjoyed it.
Nipples.
I'm not talking about your movie. Your movie was fine.
By comparison.
It went good. Fine.
All right.
Had you seen it? Of course you've seen it. And what did you think when I chose it, Guido?
Oh, yeah. So I have seen this movie many times because I like sci-fi movies and I was also a child once. And...
Did your daddy show it to you?
My daddy did show it to me. Ooh. Yes.
No,
he did.
His dad actually showed him the porno version, E.T. the Extra Testicle.
Ew.
Dude, there's just... What do you do with a third ball? You know?
What do you do?
It glows. It glows when you touch it.
Yeah, but there was a crossover. It glows blue and there's orcs around. I'm glad you chose it so that the birthday girl can get what she would like.
Oh, that's very nice.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, ditto. It's literally one of the greatest movies ever made. It's quite possibly my third or fourth favorite Spielberg movie. It jumps the shark, literally.
Ooh, very mm-hmm. good.
Super excited to talk about it.
Ooh, I brought something for you.
Reese's Pieces have entered the podcast room, so
oh my
that
God.
Is what you're hearing.
Reese's Pieces.
Yes, Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces.
No! Reese's Pieces. I know Pieces. I'm in your house, Allie, but damn it, it's not what they are.
Reese's Pieces.
We're going to let Matt do the honors.
Well, then I'm going to give each of you one, and great. I'll get the rest.
You're all
going to
smell like peanut
They're
butter.
Matt's favorite candy.
You That's, won't eat them. You don't like those, do you?
Hell no.
You hate chocolate and peanut butter.
This
together.
Is literally the old, like, she'll always be like, whenever we go to the movies, Allie and I, she'll be like, you want anything? I'm like, she's like, okay, yeah, box of Reese's Pieces.
Yep.
So I got those from the grocery store, but there were none in the candy section. So I had to go over to the ice cream section, and I grabbed one box. And then the man behind me followed me to the ice cream section and took the last three boxes.
What a dill hole.
That's how desired these Reese's Pieces are.
He's also doing an ET podcast tonight. So.
He must be.
He must be. And then I went to the dollar store and they also did not have them.
Interesting.
Isn't that something?
Very.
All right, Allie, what did you think of me picking this movie?
I was excited because I love this movie. I did not watch it as a child, though. I did not see this movie till I was like 25 years old.
What? That's,
wait, yeah. The tears started at 25?
Yeah. Harper, what are we doing?
I think it meant more.
I mean, unless my parents showed it to me and I don't remember, but my parents said they don't remember showing it to me.
Instead of showing you a lovely movie about friendship and aliens, they showed you a movie where a woman took her head off every night.
Dorothy is friends with TikTok and Jack
and Jack the Pumpkinhead. People who used rollerblades to wipe their asses.
That's a hazard.
Those guys probably help each other. That's friendship.
That's
wiping
body mutilation.
Butt. But yes, I was very excited to talk about it and then cry some more. Cry again.
It's not even chocolate. It's like a white candy shell or something.
So accompanied with my movie, I have made a cocktail and it's called a Key Lime Crush. I don't have a cool name for it. I was thinking aliens. Technically, fictional aliens are green. I put a little maraschino cherry in it for the heart. So drink it with your whipped cream topping.
Ooh, and I love
it. First sip.
And the whipped cream is kind of like, you
it's
know.
It's a bit tart.
It's like E.T. lying in the river.
Man, are these hand-squeezed key
these
limes?
These are hand-squeezed.
I love it. It's real, so tart.
Real key limes. It's whipped cream Burnett's.
This is good.
And some a splash of lemon lime soda.
If you shook it with an egg white, it would add that frothy layer up top.
Or aquafaba.
What's that?
Aquafaba is the juice from a chickpea.
It's like a vegan alternative to egg whites.
Egg whites. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can use the stuff out of the chickpea can, and then you shake it, and it basically is the same thing.
I want to try that.
Where'd you learn about that, babe? Was it from a certain show called Vanderpump Rules? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, from one of the best guys on that show, Tom Schwartz.
Tom Schwartz. Well, I love this drink. I love a tart drink. When we were down in Key West, oh, God, I couldn't get enough of the
lime.
This
is a tasty sip and drink.
This is going to be on the rotation of summer cocktails, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't think we can afford the key lime.
It was a lot.
Three bags for four drinks, darling.
Okay. So this movie was a summer blockbuster. Came out June 11th, 1982. And it had a budget of $10.5 million.
That's low.
It grossed $439.5 million.
Holy fucking shit.
It was the highest grossing box office movie until Jurassic Park in 1993. Which
yes, that is why Spielberg's first divorce was very costly.
They spent a tenth of their budget on animatronics and effects. And he wrote with Melissa Matheson the majority of this movie while he was on set for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Melissa Matheson
is Harrison Ford's ex-wife.
Now deceased. Mm.
Now deceased. But they were dating while they were on set together. So she really lucked out in this scenario, in my opinion.
Was Harrison just, you know, scouting locations kind of like Spielberg was when he met what's-her-name on the set of Carrie? He just showed up and was like, hey, how's it going there?
I don't know what the history is with Melissa and Harrison.
She is found to be in the right place at the right time.
Well, she was dating Harrison Ford and was on set and her and Spielberg wrote this movie.
What a
together.
Lucky lady.
So yes. Lucky for her.
I'm pretty sure she's talented as
well. Yeah, I was going to say, considering she wrote a screenplay.
She's also known for
Tommy
the BFG.
Tommy Wiseau wrote a screenplay, so, you know.
Yeah, and he's
the BFG.
Foreign.
The Big Friendly Giant, which is a Roald Dahl book.
I love the BFG.
And then, as we mentioned, John Williams the composer. He won an Oscar for this movie. He also won an Oscar for Jurassic Park. Or no, he was known for Jurassic Park. And he worked with Spielberg with Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Star Wars The New Hope.
Yeah, he's pretty much done everything.
So he's an amazing composer.
He's John Williams. That's really all you gotta say.
Yeah. It takes my breath away when I hear the score for this movie.
Yeah. Like, this one's great.
Undescribable. As soon as you hear it, you know it's this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Movie stars Henry Thomas as Elliot. He's known for Gangs of New York and Legends of the Falls. But like you were saying, he is... what is his?
He's a Flanagan.
Flanagan, thank you.
He is also on...
He's in pretty much all of Mike Flanagan stuff now.
He was also on a very special Law & Order SVU episode.
Oh, I hate that episode. He gets, wrongfully imprisoned for, sexually assaulting this woman.
Oh.
And then they free him.
Because he was wrongfully
imprisoned. Because he was wrongfully imprisoned. And then he goes and sexually assaults the woman's daughter and kills her.
What?
That's wild.
So he should have stayed in jail the whole time.
No, but he didn't do the original crime.
Oh,
but he learned what to do.
He was in jail for 20 years for a crime he didn't commit, and it made him really mad, obviously.
Ugh. So mad that he commits some sexual assault.
Sexual assaults and kills somebody.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's a really sad episode.
He had a lot of time to think about it.
And Ice-T was feels bad because Ice-T was the one that put him away 20 years ago.
I made him this way.
I feel bad because I put him there.
Yep.
And now he's worse. Shit.
Next character is Drew. Drew Barrymore plays Gertie.
Gertie!
Which is Elliot's younger sister. Gertie, worst name ever.
Oh, I love it.
How long is she in this movie?
I don't know. The whole time.
Pretty much.
It's broken up, but yeah, the whole time.
And is she six in this movie?
I believe so, yes.
I think she's six.
I believe she's six.
Thick.
Based on the squealing, she's thick.
Oh, that scream is so amazing.
Peter Coyote
plays Keyes, the space government agent man.
The guy that was supposed to be...
He's just the man with the keys. That's just his name.
To be Harrison Ford.
It was supposed to be Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford made a different cameo. He was a school principal or something.
He's the school...
But it ended up only being on a specific cut of the movie.
Yeah, you never really see it, to be honest with you. It's like the octopus and Goonies.
I could have sworn the girl in the class with Elliot, she had the eyelashes saying love you and looked at him.
Erica Eleniak from Baywatch?
Just like in...
what she's from.
Yeah, it's like a little girl from Baywatch. Well, yes. I mean, she's little in this movie. She was in Baywatch.
She's the one that flips her hair.
They all do that. I know. But yeah.
I loved that when Baywatch was out.
Oh, dude, I used to watch it. Oh, yeah, it was great.
I swear to God I put Michael's name in here somewhere.
He went on to work in the post office after this.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a postal worker. I read this... in an article. It was like a Where Are They Now listicle thing.
Oh.
And it was he moved on. He liked it because it was high demand and high octane working, kind of being in a movie.
Odd transition. Okay.
And then Dee Wallace plays Mary, the mama.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we start off the movie where we're in the forest. The alien spacecraft has landed on Earth, and it looks like the aliens, I'm going to call them aliens at this point, they're gathering specimens or collecting items from Earth, and then one of them wanders off from the rest of them. There's strange men that are walking through the woods. They scare all of the little aliens, and one of them is too far out, so he kind of runs and hides. The men start to pursue him, and the spacecraft flies away, leaving him stranded on Earth. But E.T. Makes his way down to the suburban neighborhood, and he hides in... He, runs around the neighborhood, and he hides in a shed.
Doesn't that neighborhood look strangely familiar to anybody?
It's very interesting that you say that, because he was scouting out... He produced Poltergeist while he was scouting out places for this movie.
It's not the same neighborhood.
It's not, but it does look very similar.
It's a suburban neighborhood that was probably built in the 60s. They're all the same.
All right.
All in California.
California. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just, making a Spielberg comparison. I didn't realize you were the only one that was willing to do that.
I am.
What did you think of the spaceship?
It looked like an egg.
I think it looks like when it goes through the trees, it looks like it has teeth. So I always thought it looked like Jaws because it looks like really? It has like Sharpie, like triangles or something
reminds
like that.
Reminds me of a hookah.
A hookah.
It's a floating hookah.
Floating hookah. It's quite steamy in there too. See? E.T. comes from a very misty planet. We rode the ride.
Bunch of Rastafarians.
At Universal, you fly back to E.T.'s planet and it's super humid and swampy.
I don't remember
dank.
All of the ride. I only remember the end when it said my name.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was so little when I did it.
Someone tried to get it to say a really bad name.
Dammy.
Oh, no, you got it. What'd you say? Dick butt? You put no, dick butt in or something.
No, dick butt got flagged, but Muhammad did not.
Yeah.
Muhammad.
Did you ride it twice?
We wrote it like three times.
He wrote the prophet Muhammad.
Honestly.
There was no line.
That was
probably
the quickest run because nobody knows it's there.
It is kind of hidden at this point.
Like, I'm surprised.
Is it still open?
I think so.
I think I honestly think Spielberg gives Universal like $1 million a year just to keep it open.
Because it's kind of back by like a little kid area. Like the, I feel like.
Not
the
no, it's near the Simpsons thing.
Yeah, but it's like. You have to go behind, kind of like you would walk past it. I feel like if you didn't know it was there.
I just remember the first time when we walked up and the first time we rode it, and I walked through because we were down there and we were in the Simpsons area and we had some Duff beers, which mm-hmm. surprisingly tastes like Yingling.
Yeah, mm.
So
I could see that.
So you know, I had some wicked beer farts and. I'm in the line and we're just and I'm like, oh, I'm about to get on the ride. It's okay. Nobody will know it was me. Just as I go, they're like, sorry guys, the ride's broken.
It did break. It did stop. We were like great. About to get on the bike. So the group and then it was down for like 15 minutes. Like, we're just waiting
there.
I was
like, I don't know. I think that's why the ride's broken. I think it's a smell from the track.
What a great and honeymoon memory.
Yeah, it was.
You
it was
broke
fun.
It with your farts.
God.
No. I could have gotten away with it if the ride wasn't
broken. Wasn't for those stinking kids.
So in the suburban house, we have a family. So it's Mom, Mary, and Michael, Elliot, and Gertie, her three kids. Elliot is the middle child. Michael's the oldest, who's like probably in high school.
Yeah.
Elliot's probably in middle school.
Hey, Guido, quick question. What are they playing at the table?
Yeah, they're playing
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah,
I don't know if I ever noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, they're D&D-ing it.
Yeah.
Because one of the friends is C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah, he's a wizard.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of really young people smoking cigarettes.
Are they?
Yeah.
The parents are divorced. The dad, the mom says that he went to Mexico, but I think he just left them.
No, the mom doesn't say it. Elliot says it.
Or Elliot says it.
With his girlfriend. He's got a new girlfriend.
The mom just, like, doesn't bring it up.
Yeah, but they wear less clothes down there, so.
Well, he abandoned his children, and she has to take care of three kids, so.
In that huge house.
Well.
That house is enormous.
It is big.
At least two of those kids, I understand why.
What?
Gertie's the only cool one.
Well,
you're fine.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Kids are fine.
I'll give you that. Dude, the other one's a fucking doofus.
And the one,
and the other one squeals too much.
Yeah, he squeals penis breath really loud. He's like, penis breath!
It wasn't like that, penis
annoying
breath.
Little shit. Yeah.
Love that.
It was jarring when he said that.
So Michael's busy playing Dungeons and Dragons with his buddies. They order pizza. So Elliot goes out to get the pizza. And he hears a noise in the backyard. And he traces the noise out to the garden shed in the backyard. Elliot throws a baseball and gets really scared because the baseball comes back out at him.
It's not poltergeist, dude.
And then Elliot rushes inside and he tells everyone, and the mom comes out and all the friends, and they're like, "You're an idiot. It's a goblin, blah, blah, blah." And the mom says Michael assumes it's a coyote.
It very well, I mean. It's California.
Because didn't the mom leave already? Like, she was, like, yelling about Mexico when she was backing out of the car, backing out of the driveway.
No, that's later in the
that's
movie.
That's later.
She was upset that they ordered pizza at all. It's rude. They paid for it.
No, she paid for it.
She came home with Gertie from the grocery store, I believe.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can tell she's a stressed, busy mom because she like barely makes eye contact with mm-hmm. Gertie as Gertie's talking to her.
I love Gertie.
And like the mom's just like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And then they said they ordered pizza and she was pissed because mm-hmm. they just ordered it and assumed she was going to pay for it. And back then, you had to have cash for that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would have been pissed too.
Thanks a lot, Reagan.
Yeah. Oof. So Elliot, later on that night, he hears something outside in the backyard and he goes outside and
he's like sleeping out there almost.
Yeah. He sits in like a recliner chair.
He wants to see the chupacabra.
And waits. And the creature, like, runs through the backyard, like, because he kind of falls asleep, and he runs through the gate. And then the next day, Elliot goes out for a bike ride through the forest, and he takes a bag of Reese's Pieces with him. Reese's Pieces, to try and catch the creature.
They offered it to M&M's. M&M said no.
And then, they were afraid that children were going to be scared of the movie, so then they asked Reese's if they could do Reese's Pieces, and it skyrocketed their sales,
mm-hmm.
which is why they sold out at the grocery store today.
Oh, because other people were watching E.T. as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
There must be something, because
I don't know why this guy particularly wanted all the Reese's.
Maybe he was going to lure you with them.
Yeah,
he thought you really liked them, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this lady.
He saw that you were getting them. He's like, I'm going to pull this lady. I got some more Reese's pieces for you to follow.
Did he ask you if you were a size 14?
He did not. He was like surprised that I grabbed the Reese's, though.
Yeah.
He was like, come over here.
Yeah, because he wanted that one.
What a creeper.
He wanted all of them.
Ew. Yeah.
He was like, come over here. I'll be good.
It's probably a trucker.
Ew!
They're good road snacks.
They're high in protein. You know what was a really good one for when I was driving a tractor trailer? It was those mint M&Ms. They're not around anymore. But it was just like there was
like black chocolate and regular chocolate.
It was like the menthol from the mint. You're just like, it was almost like cigarettes.
Oh.
Just, woo!
So later that evening, Elliot stays outside, and this time he like lays the Reese's in little pieces, haha. And he makes like a trail up into his room.
Yeah.
And then the creature E.T. follows him into his room.
This is where I like to trap strange animals. In my room.
That's where we get to see like the full creature. In his room, and we see that he's brown, and
he looks like Scatman Crothers.
Got a big long neck.
It's like nothing that we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So we've
seen Scatman Crothers before.
Input.
So apparently,
no
he,
short circuit came.
Oh
after.
Right, sorry, got it.
He's supposed to be modeled after poet Carl Sandburg, Albert Einstein, and a pug.
And a pug.
I don't know what Carl Sandburg looks like, but it must be Martin interesting. Hamlish. And then E.T.'s voice was provided by Pat Welsh, an elderly woman who lived in Marin County, California.
And smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Welsh smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, which gave her voice a quality that sound effects creator Ben Burt liked.
There you go.
She sounded like my great-grandmother.
So and then he bought me some diamonds.
She spent 9.5 hours like recording her part. And was paid $380.
What? Just enough money to get my asshole
bleached. E.T. doesn't say much.
But you know what? Knowing what she could have gotten on the back end.
Tugs at the heartstrings.
Knowing what she could have gotten on the back end, I would have been like, I would have fucking sued.
He also recorded other various animal noises and things. So Elliot then, the next morning, wakes up and he fakes a fever so that he can stay home from school to be with E.T. And during the day, he and E.T. kind of get acclimated to one another. He shows him around the house.
He does a nice little merchandising plug for Star Wars.
Yep.
Yep, they do a little Dutch rudder. They absolutely do. They're the same height.
He's a child.
They are not the
same
height.
So is the fucking alien.
We don't know how
that alien.
You don't know he's not.
That alien's arms are way too long.
He'd have to be like all the way over there. And then Elliot's like, I can't reach you.
Stop it.
God. So then they
save
decide.
All your disgusting jokes for your episode.
Not though. Not touching the.
I'm changing.
You turned this into like a fucking child porn. What are you talking about? They're children.
We don't know how old E.T. is.
Do we know how old Henry is? He's a child.
Yeah, but we don't know how old...
You're talking about jerking off a child right now. It's disgusting.
We don't know how old E.T. is. This is probably an SVU episode.
Doesn't matter. You're talking about two children jerking each other off, so it's disgusting no matter what.
What are you talking about? It was great in The Ritual of Chud. When Stephen King did it, it was great.
Yeah, hold on a second. What about The Goonies? Wasn't there an orgy or something? Oh, wait, no. That was Stephen King. Right.
We're not talking about Stephen King.
Okay.
So
Ice T's gonna show up. Yo, I heard there's some alien jerking off kid theme.
I feel weird saying this, but then Elliot introduced E.T. to his brother and sister.
Well, there we go.
After he drank beer or before he drank beer? Before.
That's the next day.
That's right. But he goes, sorry.
So then they decide that he's an alien from outer space and that his people left him there. And E.T. shows him some cool tricks. He shows him, like, he can levitate. He also gets a gift from Gertie of some dead flowers, and he makes them come back to life.
I love when she brings in all the stuff for him.
Yes.
I love everything she says is so adorable. I love when she's like, is he a pig? He sure eats like one.
Yeah,
with her missing teeth. She's so cute in this movie.
I like the thing that when he, like, does with his neck, where he goes,
yeah,
like a telescope.
Yeah,
like a Pez dispenser.
Must be hot in there.
She actually takes him and hides him in her closet, and she dresses him up like a girl.
Yes,
with a wig, and I guess it's her mom's clothes.
They have so many stuffed animals in that fucking closet.
I love when they paid homage to that in Always Sunny. When they did that episode where they broke into that house and Danny DeVito had to hide from the family and he just hid in the little girl's doll collection. It's just him with a whip in his hand. It's like...
At the end of the ride, you can take a picture in the closet or you can take a picture on the bike with E.T. I have one on the bike.
We have a picture of our dog, Major, who's a Boston Terrier, and our son piled him... on top of him, all of his stuffed animals.
Aww. Yep.
And then...
looks just like this.
It does.
So it's cute.
So cute. But yeah, Gertie actually teaches him how to talk.
Yeah, where there's...
a very influential character.
She's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's knocking that.
Elliot's doing jack shit.
What are you talking about? He had to go to school.
Great. And dissect a frog. Those kids are way too young to be dissecting frogs.
He didn't dissect shit.
I agree.
Live frogs.
Middle school...
You don't start with the frog. You start with the pig fetus.
You start with a worm.
Oh, you know, we dissected frogs in 7th grade, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, he's a 7th grader?
I did mine in 10th grade.
I think he's probably, like, 6th or 7th grade.
Okay. I would say so, too.
Yeah.
We started with a worm and then did a dead frog.
Did you?
Oh, we did a dead frog. It wasn't a live frog, but we did it. We 7th grade. It would have been 7th.
It's important to teach the young ones, you know, that you could murder something with chemicals first.
Oh, yeah.
They put the cotton ball in.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where depending on which version you watch, is Harrison Ford fights an octopus.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Way to combine movies.
That's a deleted scene, dude.
So yeah, so when Elliot goes to school, as you were referring to, in science class, and in other classes too, we can see the parallelism of, you know, E.T. feels Elliot... feelings and vice versa.
Yeah, they're psychically linked.
They're connected.
They're linked now, from their bond from the day before.
Yeah, via some sort of psychic Dutch rudder.
Yeah, they touched.
So like,
they must have.
E.T. is alone at home all day today.
I'm going to get stabbed later.
I was in a good mood. Now I'm like not. You're like really...
Listen, he mentioned docking, all right? No one else did.
I didn't mention docking. I said Dutch rudder.
Right.
So E.T. is drinking beer from the fridge and he's raiding the refrigerator because he's hungry. And so then Elliot ends up drunk in the middle of his class.
He's like me when I come over to your house.
This is underage alcohol consumption and detestable, really. You know, in a movie for kids.
This is detestable.
Yeah. And then he watches TV and it's like he makes all these crazy sounds. He's like,
he watches that terrible, terrible sci-fi movie that they watch on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
This Island Earth?
This Island Earth. Yes. I'm almost positive that's the movie he's watching.
I like how he sits on the couch.
The Earth stood still.
I don't know.
And he puts his alien hand down the front of his pants like Al Bundy.
He did. No. He's not me. He did do that.
So then Elliot gets like, I don't know, like balls of steel. And because he's drunk. And he's like, I'm going to let all the frogs go.
Well, yeah, because
in his class.
Because E.T.'s watching this movie, and in this movie, this man is like the hero. And I guess because of the transcendental properties, he's like, I'm going to save them. And then he kisses Erica, little baby Erica Alaniak. He has to stand on a chair to do it because he's a very short little boy.
And then he gets his mom. That's a phone call from the principal as soon as they get home from the grocery store, and she leaves Gertie.
Bitch, how many times does she go to the grocery store?
She does go to the grocery store
in the span of like 3 days.
I also just love E.T. like drunkenly walking around, knocking into things and falling over. Yeah. And then the mom hits him with the fridge door, and Gertie's like, "You killed him."
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
She
pissed off Steven Spielberg so much, though, because she could never remember her lines.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, she's the small child?
Yeah, the one that, like, probably spent zero time getting educated in her childhood.
Yeah, and they filmed this movie from start to finish. They don't do that in movies, obviously, because you film scenes based off of, most of the scenes we're doing are in this house, we're filming all those scenes. Then we're going to move to the forest. But because he wanted it to make sense for the children, it wouldn't have made sense to film the scene where E.T. dies and then do the beginning of the movie. He thought it would really confuse the kids, especially Drew Barrymore. So they literally filmed it in order.
He also filmed it from the height of the child.
Yes.
So the height of Elliot and E.T., he was filming from that height.
So we're never towering over the children.
Always feel like you're viewing it from a child's perspective. Yeah. Like up at the mom.
Man knows what he's doing.
That poor E.T. cameraman was holding the camera.
Yeah, that poor cameraman.
That poor cameraman has to bend over like that. The poor boom mic operator has to be like.
They just hired shorter people.
Though. Yeah.
So you think they just had Warwick Davis film it?
Yeah, they just used the Ewoks from the stage next door.
So now that Gertie's taught E.T. to talk, they say, you know, we've got to help him get home.
Phone home.
He does want to go home. He said it several times.
I'm fine.
He's home. He's homesick.
He wants to go home. Send him home, Happy.
They go through the garage collecting different items that they can use to build a communicator device to space. And they devise a plan because Halloween is the next day. So they have Gertie on standby and she has Elliot's bicycle. And they dress E.T. up like a ghost and tell their mom that that's Gertie. And they take E.T. out trick-or-treating. The mother is none the wiser.
No.
I don't know what the fuck she's...
She's on lithium.
She's just worried. I guess she is. She's on antidepressants.
Well, she has a lot to worry about.
Yeah.
She's got three kids and a full-time job. She's a single mom.
She's handing out buying candy. Pizza.
Basically a Reba McEntire show.
She's got to worry about the next time she has to go to the grocery store, which Lots is arguably groceries. In like 3 hours, apparently.
I mean, there's a teenager in the house.
Job. They go trick-or-treating, and Elliot and E.T., they fly.
Well, first, E.T. thought he saw a friend from somewhere
it's
else.
It's Yoda.
It's Yoda, yes.
Which, as you know, they kind of did a clever nod to that. They did a clever nod to that in The Phantom Menace, where you see E.T.'s in the Senate.
But also, it makes sense. Kids would have dressed up as Star Wars characters in 1983. Like,
uh-huh.
It would have been a very popular costume. It would have been weird not to see kids as like Yoda or Boba Fett or something like that.
Boba Fett?
He did it for realism more than anything.
Exactly. It's not like he was getting paid by his friend or something.
Not at all.
It's not like he got any deals on the back end from Star Wars or nothing.
No, they're just like teasing one another. That's all. So Elliot and E.T. go on their journey and they actually ride their bicycle and fly into the woods. And we get that score that we love so much. Na, 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 na. And they had to assemble the communication machine.
Which they had instructions for.
Well, you know, because obviously...
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. It was an Erector set. No big deal.
And then it works.
Yeah.
It was a real working machine, by the way.
Yeah.
To communicate with aliens?
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
Elliot wakes up the next day in the woods. There's no sign of E.T. And he... feels sick. He returns home with his mom, where his mom has been looking for him out missing because he's been gone all night and the police are at his house. And she flips out at him. Elliot tells Michael, I don't know where he is. You have to go out and find him.
damn.
Also,
so he looks visibly ill. This is like the first time that we see, probably when he was in the woods, that there's something wrong. So Michael goes out looking at all of the usual places and then goes out into the woods and finds E.T.'s white sheet.
Because he was a ghost.
Looks up the hill and in the river and finds him in the storm drain.
Like he's all washed up.
He looks like a jelly donut.
He looks like a white piece of dog shit.
It's awful.
You licked that.
He's being picked up by raccoons.
Like a raccoon. You know, we're to expect that he's got hypothermia and he potentially is dying. Michael brings it home. They show the mother. And the mother's like, what the fuck?
Well, she's never seen him, so it's like, oh my God.
And it's not looking good.
I gotta go to the grocery store.
I gotta go. And then the governmental men.
The man with the keys.
The man with the keys. They take over the house like Bubble Boy. And they wrap it with plastic and...
Yeah.
It's a fucking alien, Tammy.
They're contaminated.
Yeah.
They have to. Biohazard that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, hell. Who knows... what that telekinesis bond did to that kid.
Yeah.
They can kill this thing and stealing the health of our
little white
they
kids.
Can from it, that's what they'll do.
Can't be doing that.
So Elliot and E.T. are in this like self-made medical tent inside of the home where only doctors and nurses are able to be in there. They're on oxygen. They're talking. They're basically dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then... they say goodbye to one another. Michael goes to sleep and wakes up and like watches the plant die, and that's essentially E.T. dying. They do separate though, because Elliot ends up getting better and E.T. ends up disconnecting himself and perishes. They try to revive him and he doesn't. So there's another really sad scene where Elliot says his goodbyes, but what we find out is that E.T. is actually alive.
So he died.
He's alive!
He knows what to do.
I think, this is my theory, through his death, he was able to communicate with his extraterrestrials to determine that they were on their way back.
Oh, and he's like, oh, you're on your way? All right,
Because he, you know, they open the little incubator thing, the freezer.
Home.
And he's like, home.
Home, phone home, phone home, phone yeah. home, phone
and he's
home.
Like, telling them that they're on their so way. Cute.
Home, home.
God, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that recording studio with Cigarette Lady.
Home, home.
It would basically...
can you get me another carton of smokes?
I just feel like it would basically be Toast of London. Yes! Yes!
Home, home.
So Michael also sees the flowers come back to life, and he's like, oh, shit. So Elliot tells him they have to get to the playground. Michael calls all his buds, his Dungeons and Dragons friends. They get the bikes. Michael and Elliot steal the van.
Dang, you gotta put the troops together.
I didn't even get my license yet.
I've only driven in reverse.
This is a great scene.
I love it. I also love when the mom tries to leave with Gertie, and Gertie's like, we're going on a spaceship to the moon! And like the mom's like, shut up! Trying to shut her up, and she's just like screaming.
Let me tell you, I do that weekly. It's just so put my hand funny. In Amelia's face,
we're
who's yelling.
Spaceship! Like, spaceship!
Are you sure that this wasn't when she did coke for the first time?
No, she went
to the moon!
I think it was good that she did that, though, because then Keys Man, he was able to help the mom find them in the woods.
Oh, he's not a bad guy, but he's a bad guy.
No, he's a government lackey, but he eventually sees, like, you know, he is not a bad alien.
And we also get, like, a soft side of him where he's like, I've been waiting for this day my whole life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like...
And I'm an alien because I gave him some Pez. Well, no, back in the day, it was when he was the kid.
Pez. Okay.
He gave an alien Pez?
So we get this really cool chase scene where Michael is driving the van to the park, and Elliot is, you know, they have the spacemen that are climbing.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, they're, so still, they're still in the tunnel, in the and they the got van. The...
They use a van as the entrance to their hermetically sealed house.
It's just an escape port. It's just a port of entry or exit. Yeah, but they had to get the body of E.T. into
Yeah, they were going to move the body van. Into the van.
Right.
So that's what they did. So,
but they drove the van away, so it's got a little tail.
Yeah, and there's guys in it. It's that would be full of dudes. That should be the ride. That should be the ride at Universal.
That was terrible. And then Elliot pulls all the pins to let the tail go. And
they're
the men
fine.
Go flying.
They're not dead. They're fine.
Yeah.
Slow speed.
They follow the boys to the park. And at the park, they all get on their bicycles. And E.T. gets in the basket. It's bike, and they ride away.
Iconic.
All of the governmental agents have assembled in their cars.
They're
Very
all there.
Quickly.
They're all there with walkie-talkies, not guns.
It's fucking alphabet boys.
Yes.
Yep.
And they all knew where they were going to be because news reporters and media and everything all of a sudden show up as they're riding mm-hmm. their bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's seemingly the end. They've been caught, but then E.T. and Elliot connect via their telekinesis.
Mind melt.
And all of a sudden we get...
And they fly.
I just got goosebumps.
I know. It's very goosebumpy still. It's amazing. Love it so much.
All the friends fly to the forest. Miraculously, the mom, Keys, and Gertie catch up before dark. The spacecraft lands, and we have this beautiful scene where E.T. and Elliot
say goodbye
to
I'm
one another.
This. I'm recording the recording.
E.T. asks Elliot if he'll come with him, and he says he can't, but he says, I'll be right here. Gertie gives him a hug and gives him his flowers.
Be good. Be good.
Ugh, stop.
And then the ship door closes, and then we get a piece of a rainbow. The spaceship creates a rainbow in the air, and that's the end.
And then... NORAD strikes it down with a missile.
No.
Yeah, they are not into Pride Month, dude. So NORAD fucked them up.
And that's the end of my movie.
It's beautiful. Tammy, you did such a nice job.
Yeah. I recited all my fun facts during my movie. So
nice.
That's the end.
You know that there was originally supposed to be a sequel, and it was actually stemming. It was supposed to be a horror movie.
It was supposed to take place on E.T.'s planet.
Oh, do you know why E.T.'s eyes were so big? No. He got his phone bill.
It was a Delmarva bill.
No, but there was, like, the original screenplay was going to be like bad aliens came to Earth because they were chasing after E.T.
Yeah. You mean the original E.T. was going to be scary. Like, it was going to be like they were bad aliens, basically, because he was kind of involved in Poltergeist, and then there were kind of all these other bad alien movies. He didn't want to do that. And so they made it. But then in the sequel, it was going to be more bad aliens, but it was going to take place on E.T.'s planet, and they just never got made.
So seeing what we saw on that ride and what some people smelled on that ride.
That would have been a horror movie.
Dude, your beef wrong.
All right. Pass, fail, Al.
Oh, pass. This is the most beautiful movie ever made about friendship. It is the best movie ever made about friendship. Don't even bring up Tommy Wiseau, I swear to God. I love everything about this movie. Drew Barrymore is so adorable in it. She's just so, like, naturally just adorable.
It's effortless.
Effortless. I think the kid actors are great, which is hard a lot of times because kid actors can be fucking terrible actors, aka the first three Harry Potter movies. But I just think it's so, and I think it still holds up. I don't think it's weird that E.T. still looks like a big poop. And
an unflexible
poop. I don't really think it, I don't
like
think it matters.
He looks like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, like a big melted Tootsie Roll. I don't think it matters. And I think it teaches children about friendship and caring for each other. So.
Yeah, and love aliens.
And loving things that are different from them.
Loving things that are different from me. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he makes a great guacamole.
We watched it with our children to watch it for the pod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to see how into it our kids were.
Amelia liked it.
Amelia loved it.
It captivated Amelia's attention the entire time.
She was asking so many questions.
is that Ariana Grande? Is he a princess?
She loves Ariana Grande.
She does. Does
E.T. know when my birthday is?
Is it sick?
Does it glow when it needs to fart?
Aw.
Are they eating Skittles?
I would have been.
Can he pick up rocks?
More. This is coming from me, who again watched Return to Oz and Labyrinth and thought those were fun. I don't know how people were scared of this movie, but a lot of kids were scared of this movie.
I was scared of the part.
Did you not hear the pig squeals that alien made?
Well, I understand when he's sick, like that's scary, but he's not scary. He's just like it's. Yeah. No,
but I did have to I used to leave the room during that part.
Yeah.
I'd go stand on the staircase.
Yeah, it's so sad.
And wait for that part to go past.
Vinny liked pointing out that E.T. had no legs. It was just like a foot taped to a butt cheek. You know?
Yeah,
he has
no knees, really.
Yeah. It's just folds.
Yeah.
He looks like a Mr. Potato Head.
Skin folds.
Little waddling penguin.
Yeah. He's a Mr. Potato Head. He has no legs. He just has shoes attached to the spud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yes, pass.
Okay,
mega
cool.
Pass.
All right, Guido.
I have to pass this movie. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And Drew Barrymore is it, and we like her. I can look past that annoying child. Not Elliot. Oh, no, wait. Not Gertie. Elliot is the annoying child.
Elliot's
Why?
The annoying child?
It's the squealing, man. I get enough fucking squealing. I only hear that shit on my TV. Goddamn.
Oh, my.
No, but it's a beautiful story That's about fair. Friendship. And I like sci-fi and, you know, there all you that guy's movies. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mega pass.
Matt?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the best movie about friendship. That's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So,
they
even talk about Tommy Wiseau.
I saw your face. You were going to say, what about Best Friends?
No, I wasn't.
By Tommy Wiseau.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Butch and Sundance die in the end.
So?
They die together.
They die together as friends.
Okay.
And they, you know.
Can't take that away from
them. They do friend stuff. They also rode
They rob banks.
They also rode on bikes together. God.
Matt, I would love to rob a bank with you, buddy. Just
hey, yeah, that'd be great. It would be like me helping out with a koi pond. I would do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he'd fart, and then everyone would know you're there, and then the cops would be like, oh, hey, they were here.
That's a special power, man. You can knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. We need that power.
It's the farting bandits.
The farting bandits.
We're no longer the wet bandits.
Well, I don't know. I might be.
Ew. So gross.
No, like I said.
You made a mess.
Like I said at the beginning of this movie's amazing. It's quite possibly, honestly, I'd say, no, I still got to give it a Close Encounters. I like that one more. But it's quite possibly my favorite non-Indiana Jones Spielberg movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mega pass.
All right.
Nice job, Tams.
Nice job.
Next week is Guido's pick.
The yes. final pick. You'd think we'd end on a good note.
And now, we will.
Quid pro quo.
So I chose, for your viewing pleasure, Freddy Got Fingered.
Speaking of fingers.
Oh, God.
Speaking of fingers. You can watch it on Prime.
For free?
Yep, it's free now.
For free. It's free. And it stars Mr. Tom Green and Mr. Rip Torn and some others who we'll mention. But most importantly, Drew's Berries Moores.
Great. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can recommend a theme month on social media or via our website. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Be good.
Bang hole.